What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. Today, I want to tell you guys about my experience with Dan Kennedy. I hired him for a private consult day, and I want to tell you behind the scenes what happened, what was cool, what was like, anyway, just all the things. So that's the goal of this episode.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, we're spending money from our own pockets? How do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
All right, everybody. So as I told you guys in the intro, I had a chance this week to fly out and hang out with Dan Kennedy, which was really, really cool. And I want to tell you guys a story because there's a couple of things behind it. Like, I remember back when I first got into this business, people were always talking about how Dan did these private consult days. It was $18,800. Like, that was the price then. And I remember just thinking, like, I can't believe someone's paying him $18,000 to go to his house to talk to him for a day. It didn't make any sense to me at the time, right? And I always thought, like, someday when I'm rich, I'm going to do that. And for some reason, I never did it. Like, it's interesting, like, for years, probably a decade or so, like, I always thought about that, like, oh, it'd be so cool to go to Dan's house and, like, ask him my questions. I always wanted to, but again, I just never did it. And I still remember this day when I was in my penthouse writing the Traffic Seekers book when I got a call from one of my friends telling me that Dan was about to pass away. And some of you guys know the story. A couple years ago, he almost died, and then he didn't. And but I remember one of the feelings I had when I got that call was like, oh, like, I'll never be able to do that. Like, I had a shot, I could have done it, and I never did it. And I was just kind of upset, you know, just bummed out and never did it. And then fast forward, he didn't die. Fast forward a couple of years later, we ended up buying his company. And so in my contract, I was like, again, all the things I want to do, like, I want to co-author a book with you, I want to blah, blah, blah. And one of the big ones was I want to come and do a consult day every single year just to, like, and so that's part of my contract now. So once a year, I get to go out to his house and hang out for a day. And so that was kind of the backstory. So you've been planning it and we're talking about it, and finally it happened. And it's funny because I'm not the best scheduler or planner. It's not my strong suit. And so anyway, we were kind of planning it all, and I was going to fly out there and everything was happening. And then I realized that the weekend I was supposed to go out there, actually, let me step back. So Dan messaged me ahead of time and said, hey, if you want, he's like, I was supposed to be there on a Monday. He's like, if you want, Sunday's open, you come out Sunday, and you know, if you want to buy two consult days, you can do that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. So I said yes, and we bought it. And then those of you know who, you know, I'm Mormon, and in the Mormon church, we have a thing called General Conference. It happens twice a year, and it's basically a church on TV all day Saturday and Sunday. And for us, it's like the coolest thing. We get to spend time with our family and our kids, and we like watch it together, and we eat donuts, and it's like this special moment. And I didn't realize it until I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be flying out to Dan's house on Friday, or excuse me, on Saturday. I'll be there all day Sunday and Monday working with him. He's like, and she was like, you realize it's General Conference that weekend? I'm like, oh no, I can't miss that. And so anyway, I ended up sending Dan Usher on my team to go fly out. And Sunday he went and filmed with Dan for a whole day, just like capturing stuff that we can use for promotional videos and Dan telling his story and just a bunch of really cool things. And so then I had to figure out how to get there. And there's no private flights to Cleveland, Ohio from Boise, Idaho, Sunday night after conference is done. So we had to book a private plane. It was really expensive. It took the consult day from 18.8, which is what he charged, still charges this day, actually. It ended up, you know, adding, I think, $52,000 to the flight. So hopefully someday my kids watch this and be like, man, your dad loves you. He spent an extra $52,000 so he wouldn't miss General Conference with you. Oh, but anyway, so it was cool. So we ended up flying out that night at 9 o'clock at night. But it's going to Cleveland, and so it's, I think it's East Coast time, right? So it's like already 11 o'clock by the time I leave. And landing in Cleveland, I had to drive like almost an hour to my hotel. Long story short, I ended up getting to bed about 5 a.m. And the consult started the next morning. So 5 a.m., I'm like going to bed, and 8 o'clock, the alarm rings. I'm like, oh, 3 hours of sleep, let's go. And so, it's funny because every time people talk about going to Dan's house, like that we stayed at the La Quinta, which is just like, the worst hotel ever. And sure enough, we got there and it was like the worst hotel I've ever stayed at. Like, it was, and it was funny because I think normally I would have been annoyed by that, but part of me was like the romance of like going to Kennedy and you stay in this nasty hotel and you do the things. And so like, as I got in the hotel at 5 in the morning and like the little awning above the hotel is like falling in, and then you go in there and like it was just like thing after thing. I was like, this is literally the worst hotel I've ever been in. Like Dan was true to his word. But it was like, so because it was like so cool, I was just like smiling the whole time, like, this is so cool. Like, I think the worse the experience would have been, like the better that would have made the experience for me, just cause like that's what I was banking on. In fact, I told my assistant Jenny, she was booking it. She's like, you don't want to stay there. You should stay over here. I'm like, no, we have to stay at the La Quinta. That's where everybody stays when they go see Dan. It's part of the experience. I have to have it. So we did that anyway. And so 3 hours later, I wake up and we drive down to Dan's thing. And, anyway, it was just really cool because, yeah, it was hanging out with Dan Kennedy. And we go to his house, we go down the basement, and the basement of his house is like, it's like an office, right? And so I don't think his wife goes down there. I think it's like, this is Dan's area, and this is like our house is above it. We go down there, and there's like a conference room with like a mastermind table, chairs all around it, and there's dozens and dozens of bookshelves, and it was really, really cool. And so, you know, we started the tour and he showed me the books, and you guys know I'm a book nerd. Those who are in watching the video version, this is like what I'm in the Napoleon Hill room right now. Like just all my book collections. Like I am obsessed with books. In fact, let me Google quick. There's a disorder for people who are obsessed with books. I think it's called biblio something. Let's see if I can figure it out. Bibliomania. Bibliomania is a symptom of obsessive compulsive disorder, which involves the collecting or even hoarding of books to the point where social relations. Well, I'm gonna read the rest of this. Where social relations or health can be damaged. So apparently I have bibliomania, and Dan did too, which make, you know, so I feel like I'm in a good spot. We're both obsessed with books and we collect them all. So it was fun to see them all. I literally took pictures of every bookshelf. I'm like, I have about half these books, half of them I don't. I need to remember the name and the author. So I go on eBay and try to find the first editions of all these things. And so that was really fun. And we sat down and we get down to, I'm like, okay, and we sit in a little table, it's time to like do my consult. And he's like, well, how can I be helpful? What do you want to talk about? And I look around and sure enough, I forgot my notebook. I didn't bring my notebook to Cleveland, Ohio. And I had no thing to take notes on. I'm like, can I borrow a notepad? And so he literally had to, he had his notepad and he like ripped out all his notes and gave me this. And then those watching the video, this is Dan Kennedy's notepad. I took my notes on for my consult day with him, which is so cool. So I can never throw this away. I can never wash my hands because this is Dan's notepad where I mapped out my plans with Dan while I was with him. And it was cool. But initially it was just cool because we just talked about business. Like, it wasn't like we had I had some questions I would ask him, but from 9 a.m. till 1, it was just him talking and going on things, and like, oh, it was just fascinating. It was just kind of like we'd share things and talk about history and then this and how this worked, and I'd be like, oh, well, how'd that work? And so the first half of the day was just him going on these tangents and like me asking questions to kind of just figure things out. And then we had lunch, and then afterwards he's like, so did you have specific things you want to talk about? I'm like, oh yes, I do. So I had my questions. So the questions I asked him, this is tough. Like, what would you ask Dan Kennedy, right? Some of you guys have seen, I've done the consults with Tony Robbins twice. I have actually another one next month, which is cool. And they're always like, ask Tony any one question you have. And that's like the hardest thing. Like, what question would you ask him? So if you guys had a moment with Dan Kennedy, like, what question would you ask him? So my questions were basically like, number one is like, if you own ClickFunnels, what would you do with it? Like, tell me, like, you're Dan Kennedy, let me know, which was really cool. Another one's like, hey, I obviously, the front end is my business, they're books. I'm gonna continue to write books. I love books. Like, what are other ways that you would market books? I'm like, we drive a lot of traffic from Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Google. So like the four major platforms is like 90% of our book sales come from those. Like, what are other things you would do to sell more books? And then, I can't remember the questions. Those are the two core questions. Then I had to ask some questions about the big Peter Lowe events, the success events. Like, if I was to go and like launch a front end event company, like, what would it look like? How would it work? And so those are some of the questions. But it was cool. And then he just went and, you know, oh, hold on, let me show you something. He goes over to his filing cabinets and pulls out, like, here's how we did this campaign, and here's how this worked. And oh, so it was really, really cool. One thing that was really fascinating is, it's interesting, like, I learned this initially, I think, learning from Jay Abraham. Jay Abraham's really good at, like, is, like, taking concepts from other industries and bringing them to yours. And Dan does the same thing. So what was cool is I'm like, okay, we have, like, obviously ClickFunnels, and we've got the books and things, and, like, we're trying to figure out, like, how do we get into businesses and get them to give us, you know, to get them to become members and stuff like that. And he was showing us this campaign that, I think it's Jay Geyer does it. And it was interesting because what Jay Geyer does is he helps people fix like the chiropractor or the dentist who like you call him for an appointment and the person picks up the phone and then like that person who's supposed to be the receptionist who's supposed to like do the sale and convert the person instead becomes like the person who's blocking the sale, right? And so they do these campaigns where basically they call the dentist and they call him like 4 or 5 times over a 2 week period of time, and they record all these phone calls and they create this package. It's like, hey, we called your office. Do you want to hear what it sounded like? And then there's a CD where you listen to it, you're like, oh my gosh, my front desk are morons. Like they're doing this all wrong. There's no scripting. And they come in like, hey, if you want, we can help train your person, give them the scripts, blah, 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 implement it all, do it all for you. I think it's like, I can't remember. I think there's different packages, like $3,000, $5,000, and $15,000 or something. And they built like a, I think he said like a $50 million year business off of this thing. Just literally cold calling the receptionist, recording it, sending this direct mail piece out. And that was it. And he was like, you could do something similar with like their website. Like instead of like, hey, we called your receptionist, like, hey, we went to your website and here's what we found. Here's where you're losing money. Here's, you know, and do website reviews for people or and there's like a million different like cool things, but he's just showing like, for example, here's how it's working over here in this industry. Here's how you could do something similar. And it's like, oh, and so like gets the wheels in your head spinning of just tons of different ideas. The book marketing was interesting too. Like, you know, for me, again, we focus so much on the online stuff. And he was just like, well, your books specifically work for different industries. He's like, well, if I was you, I would go find the industry magazines or the industry, not magazines, they call them newsletters. And he's like, every industry has one. So he's like, there's one for dentists, for chiropractors, for restaurant owners, for blah, blah, blah. Every single one's got one. He's like, you got that. And then create a campaign or, you know, an ad to these things. It's just like, hey, you know, your website sucks. You need a funnel. You know, hey, real estate agent. Hey, whatever the industry thing is. It's like you're not getting the volume you're getting out of everything because like it gives you a chance to penetrate through every, you know, all these other sub markets to get deep, deep into them, which is really fascinating. Talked about radio a lot. You said that radio is different. Back in the day when Limbaugh was like the biggest one, he's like that would be huge. You know, that he was like the A player. That if you got on Limbaugh, like it was game over. He's like, nowadays there's not like an A player and basically like conservative radio is the best places to sell books and things like that. But he said there's no A players, no Limbaugh anymore, but there's a whole bunch of B and C players. And he's like, I would go and I'd start on C players and run ads to those. It's going to be way cheaper. You can test things out. And if you get working, then move up to the B players and start running the ads there. And I was like, well, how do you run ads nowadays? Like, do you run them to a call, you know, a phone center? Do you run them to a website? And so we kind of went back and forth on that. And I think what was interesting is, and I told him, I've seen a bunch of campaigns recently that supplement companies are doing where like the call to action is like, hey, text this number, and we'll send you a link to whatever. And so it's like a text to website URL. And what's cool about that is you text them and you're able to text, you know, send them back URL so it hits them on their phone. They have it. But it's also not like they have to remember like, okay, trafficseekers.com. Like I'm going to go to the page. I'm going to go to it. And they write it down and they forget about it, right? Like they just have to text you real quick, boom, you shoot a link, and then the link's there in their phone all the time. So you get people who, even though they don't convert right then, they convert later. But then also you have a text list, now you can send text follow-ups and like urgency, scarcity, you know, fear, like all the things we do in marketing. And that got me thinking like there's just so many opportunities. You know, on an ad where it's like you click to go to websites, one thing, but when you're not, like think about like radio, even podcasts, people listen to podcasts when they're driving, billboards, you know, there's a million things where going to a website URL is not that efficient as opposed to texting. It's like, oh, text blah, blah, blah to blah, 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 and then we'll send you a link to your free book. They do that, and also now you got them on a list, and I was like, oh, I could. Anyway, I think one of my big takeaways is I'm going to build out, like a really good front-end texting campaign that I can start running now in all these different platforms and different alternative medias that we're not doing right now. So many cool things. He talked about the old Peter Lowe events, like how they used to run those. And it was the format was interesting. They'd spend about $1 million per event to fill, get 20,000 people into a stadium. And then they'd have a couple different people. They always have like someone who's a world leader. So they had a Trump, or excuse me, not Trump. They did have Trump for a while, but they would have like George Bush or Colin Powell or something like that. They try to get a business person, an entertainment person, and then a sports person. And the sports person is usually a local celebrity. So if they're in Boise, Idaho, they'd find like, who's the quarterback of Boise State that we can get, or the old quarterback. Or if they're in Chicago, it's like, who's the Chicago Bulls or Chicago Bears guy, whoever we know that we can bring. And so like all these speakers were like the draw to get people to come to these big events. And then they would have a famous person speak, and then like dude come and speak to sell. Famous person speak to sell. Speak, and like that was the whole model. And they said that, you know, they would do an event, cost $1 million to do the event, they clear $1.5 million from the event. But there was no real back end to that business ever. And so for me, I'm like, man, I wonder if I could create something, because we've got such a good back end of ClickFunnels, we create something like that. Anyway, I have a desire to do it. I don't know if I'm going to, but I do have a desire to try to do a big, huge mega event on the front end where they come in. And again, you get, and then I was even thinking like, what if, like you guys know Fun Hacking Live a couple years ago, Lindsey Stirling came and performed, and it was this concert. Like, imagine teaming up with someone who's a band, right? And doing success event or whatever the events are, and having the band be the thing at the end that everyone stays towards, right? Because like, then you work the band, they got the cost they gotta do anyway to fill the event. Now you like piggyback off of them and their, anyway, that might be a horrible idea, but it might be amazing, I'm not sure. Anyway, I have this thing in my head where I'm trying to figure out how to do a big front end event like that, especially with, I'm working on our success brand, our success business, where it could be twofold. When it comes to the event, like the first half's like success, da da da, we sell like, you know, success stuff, and then the second half is like contribution, and then boom, we sell the business stuff, and then we have a big concert at the end, and like, duh, we hit all the major cities, and it'd be crazy. But I didn't realize the Peter Lowe events, like, I thought that they were, I thought it was like something maybe once a month they did it, but they were doing like two or three a week. Like, Kennedy was on the road, it was like going boom, 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 place, 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 place. So he was hanging out with, you know, George Bush Sr. and Barbara Bush, you know, all the stories about them, it was funny. You know, two or three times a week, they were in a different city, meeting, speaking, hanging out, and that was kind of how the whole tour worked and how they all made money back then, which was crazy. And then basically said that during Peter Lowe event days, they had like four bad events in a row that happened, because one was like 9/11 hit, and then something else hit, and like four or five events in a row, and it just bankrupted the company, because again, they had no back end, like all the money was happening at the events, and when they had, you know, four events in a row that you don't get your $1 million back, like it you know, falls apart. But anyway, it's just fascinating. Oh, one principle we talked about that was really cool, and this is, if you guys have ever studied Renegade Millionaire, the course and the events, everything that Dan did with Renegade Millionaire, he talks a lot about these two things. He mentioned again, he's like, there's like the future, he's like, there's the current bank and there's the future bank. So the current bank is the money you're getting today, and then the future bank is the equity you're putting in to your list, to your customers, to make money in the future. And it's like, most companies focus on the current bank, like, here's how I'm making money today. He's like, the best businesses, they make deposits in the current bank, that's like the present money, the money you make today, right? And then they're also putting deposits in the future bank, which is a relationship with your customers and the people, so they keep coming back over and over and over and over again. And it was just, anyway, it's a simple concept, but just the way you explained it, I was just like, oh, I wrote that down. Like, future bank is the long-term equity in your company, and then the current bank, and you have to bring people in the current bank, but then you're making deposits into this future bank. What else? Oh, there's so many cool things. Okay, I got something cool for you. This will be kind of the last thing I'll probably wrap on this. So this is the most interesting. So we're in Dan Kennedy's basement, we're down there, he's got the computers, the fax machine, I got a picture by the fax machine, all that kind of stuff. But I asked him, or not asked him, he can volunteer, but he's just like, hey, there's no internet access down here. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm not connected to the internet. And I know, like, if you guys hear me tell stories about Dan, like, he faxes, he doesn't have an email address, things like that. But not only does he not have an email address, he does not have internet access. Like, literally no internet. Like, there's, he couldn't check email if he wanted to, because there's no, like, he types, he's like, these computers are like typewriters, basically. He types, prints it out, walks over to the fax machine, faxes it to somebody. His wife has internet, but he's like, but he doesn't use it. But in the basement, there's no, like, none of his computers are hooked to the internet. Is this crazy? And I was like, well, how do you research for your books? And he kind of points around, like, all the books. He's like, this is my research here. And he looked at me, he's like, how do you research for your books? He's like, when you're on the internet, don't you feel like you're standing in the middle of a strip club? He's like, how are you able to focus? I was like, that's a good point. In fact, so much so that now I came back and I told you this earlier, I'm in the Napoleon Hill room. Like, my plan is every day I'm spending the first half day here where there's no internet access. There is internet, but I'm not connected. There's no people to talk to. I'm just here writing and working and trying to get stuff done. Because I'm sure I'm like you, I get distracted all over the place. So I have to my team knows, like, I'll be in the office after lunch, but before lunch, I'm here in a spot where there's no internet. So I can record podcasts, I can write, I can plan, I can, all the things that I need to do. So, anyway, it made me excited to also figure, like, I need to disconnect more, disconnect from social, disconnect from internet, disconnect more so I can get more stuff done. So anyway, I get a lot of stuff done, but I want to get more, just like you guys. So anyway, there's some of the highlights for my time with Dan. For those in network marketing, he showed the two things that blew Herbalife up. Number one was the pin, like, want to lose weight? Ask me how I did it. And he's like, that initiated conversations and got people to ask the Herbalife distributors, because they couldn't get them to go out there and to like, hey, do you want to lose weight? Or hey, do you want, you know, like having something like that was number one. And number two, and this was fascinating, there's a lesson here for somebody, is that they would have on TV a late night infomercial, kind of, but it was more like an opportunity meeting. And it was interesting because they didn't make money from the opportunity meeting, right? It wasn't like a direct response infomercial where they're making money directly. Instead, what it was it was an opportunity meeting. So people at home or around the world would get their friends and family and say, hey, Sunday night, we're doing this thing. Come over to our house and watch it together. They'd come together, turn on the TV, they watch it. And then the infomercial was the opportunity meeting, and they'd sign up their friends there in the house. And that was their model. That's so cool. Like, I think there's something there. If I owned a network marketing company, I would definitely exploit that and do it where, you know, just do a Facebook Live every Saturday night or Sunday night. That's literally just the opportunity meeting, and have the entire company bring people to that meeting over and over again. I may try to do something similar for affiliates or for our new funnel builders, which is a new thing coming up I can't tell you about, or I don't know. I haven't figured out how to leverage that yet, but I thought that was really, really cool that Herbalife did that for a decade or so. That's how they grew. So much fun. So many fun things. So I hope that helps you guys. Hopefully you got a glimpse of some of the cool things I learned about with Dan Kennedy. It was, yeah, everything I hoped for and more. And you'll be able to see some of the production, what happens afterwards coming back from this here in the near future inside of our companies. Appreciate you guys all for listening. If you enjoyed this, let us know. And if you're not subscribed to the No BS newsletter, you must hate money. That's the only logical explanation. Go to nobsletter.com. Go get subscribed, and you hear from me and Dan twice a month. So that's all I got. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you, and we'll see you soon. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taking the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This is Small Business for sponsoring the show. As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long, and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, a billion members, 180 million senior-level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. C-L-I-C-K-S to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. If you've loved this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. That'll help me to know what to create for you. Also, Dan Kenny and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift ever, designed to help you make maximum money in minimum time. And this free gift comes with almost $20,000 worth of pure money-making information for free, just for saying maybe. You can get this gift from Dan and from me right now at nobsletter.com. Not only are you going to get the $20,000 gift, you're also going to get a subscription to 2 marketing newsletters that will be hand-delivered by the mailman to your mailbox each and every month, one from Dan Kennedy and one from me.
To get this gift and your subscription, go to nobsletter.com right now.